I can only give 1 minute for everybody to settle so that we start the meeting with immediately.
Morning, Chair.
Good morning, Mr. Kumeda.
How is life, Chair?
Fine. So?
No, I'm fine. Happy to see you.
Thank you.
Sure, thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Kumeda. Honorable members, I think we start the meeting now. Welcome, everybody. I would like to welcome the members of Parliament. This is their meeting. Today, we'll be getting a briefing from SAA with the department, of course. Before anything, let me welcome the following members. Firstly, there is an apology of the minister who is in the cabinet currently, and we have, I hope, the deputy minister present, accompanied by the director general with his team from the Department of Public Enterprise, with also a team of SAA. I think I've been notified that the interim board members of SAA are led by the chairperson, Mr. M.J. Lamola, who is the chair of the interim board, interim chair of the interim board. Also, SAA interim chief executive officer, Mr. TDM Hokolo. I think we are not going to be hearing for the first time. He has been coming to the portfolio committee for some time now. Therefore, welcome everybody, including the department and ourselves. Without wasting any time, this session is supposed to be receiving a presentation which will be updating all the members of Parliament as to what are the current state of SAA. As we are all aware that SAA is being rebuilt with new developments that we would like to get, and also to understand when SAA is actually starting to fly. I think we would also like to hear all those kind of information. Without wasting time, we'll give to the minister, deputy minister, to provide us with an overview, and then from him, we go straight to the Director General to give input or delegate the people behind him. Deputy Minister?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to the Honorable Committee. Greetings to everyone, the board, interim chair of the board at SAA, colleagues. Chair, I really do not intend to belabor anything. We expecting much to hear from the board as well as the interim executive of SAA. I may just say, as a way of introduction, we all know the challenges that beset the organization, the SAA, so to speak, which we have been reporting about. Alongside what I may just add is the environment in which this has to find expression. The aviation industry globally has been negatively affected by the decline in the travelers owing to the pandemic that has hit the world. where ordinarily we would have been looking at reviving this entity in a favorable environment, it has been somewhat also a negatively influenced environment. Nonetheless, we have, I think, through the AIB leadership, been navigating that space, for which I think you deserve to hear directly from the board. Without much ado, Chair, I would like to then invite the Chair of the board. They will indicate as to how they will proceed with their presentation. I know the DG must be here. If anything, they may add as part of responding to the questions. Thank you, Chair, for your indulgence.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope you can hear me. My name is Manisela John Lamola. I must apologize, Chairperson, that I have a technical problem here with my video, which hopefully will be sorted as we proceed. We are here, sir, with the team from the executive management of South African Airways. As has been explained by the Deputy Minister and as indicated in the introduction, South African Airways is in a transition of restructuring and setting itself as launching as a viable, profitable airline that South Africa and the rest of Africa will be and can be proud of. Our board has indicated sees itself as a hands-on transitional structure that is in the interregnum to the restructured shareholder structure that will relaunch the airline in terms of the ideals as stated. We are here with our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Kokolo, and the CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mokotlo, who will lead the presentation from our perspective. Both of them, as the members will appreciate, are executive directors of the company, and they somehow carry the same fiduciary and the same strategic visionary vigor that us as the interim board are executing. We are a small board of only four members. It's myself, Ms. Bembe Zwane, Mr. Nick Padukba, and Professor Edna van Harte. At this moment, I'll give over to Mr. Kokolo to lead the discussion.
Chairperson, thank you so much for the introduction. And I would like to take this opportunity to greet the portfolio committee members. I would like to take the opportunity to also acknowledge the Deputy Minister, the Director General of the Department of Public Enterprise, and the colleagues at the Department of Public Enterprises. Also take this opportunity to acknowledge members of the media, all the stakeholders who are present in this particular session. And also a word of thanks to the executives of SAA who assisted in preparing the presentation and who are here to support. So Chair, without wasting any time, if you can allow me, I have got a presentation that I've put together that I would like to share on the screen so that we can then proceed, Chair, if you allow me. Hello, Chair?
Yes, continue. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Can I get confirmation that you can see the presentation, Chair?
Yes. Yes, we can see.
Thank you so much. I will then get into it. Chair, the presentation is roughly about 15 pages. that we should be going through, and then we'll allow the questions as per your guidance, Chair. Chair, the agenda for this particular presentation is to take you through on the SAA update, as it has already been said, to also talk about the update on the business rescue. We have also included, as per your request, the subsidiaries reports as well. And as per the request as well, we have dived deeper into the Mango business rescue process. We have further looked into giving you an update on the SEP due diligence process, Chair, and then also we'll give you an update on the restart plans that we have now formulated and are busy executing. Just to start off with the some small background that we are all familiar with without going into detail, the group comprises, we've got SAA as an airline, we've got SAA Technical, which does maintenance for the group. We've got Mango Airlines, which is the low-cost carrier in the domestic market. And then we've got AirChef that is responsible for catering and mending our lounges at various airports. Chair, as we know that as a result of significant losses and cash flow issues, we experienced a negative balance sheet, and subsequent to that, SAA was placed in business rescue sometime in December 2019. Effectively, during that particular period, the business rescue practitioners were in charge until we exited on the 30th of April 2021, when the interim board put in the interim management to ensure that the business can transition out of business rescue. We must be mindful that during that particular process, the other group companies, which was SAA Technical, Mango, and AirShares, were not put into business rescue during this particular period. Just to continue, before, as we were into business rescue, around about March, we were then grounded, as it has already been said by the Deputy Minister, because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the first lockdowns that we experienced last year. And since that particular period of March 2020, we have not been operating. It is very important to note that the pandemic continues to impact the company's plans to restart, and we are busy monitoring that as well. One of the key things about the group is that the SAA Technical and AirShares, they earn over 80% of their revenues from SAA, and they were significantly affected by the non-operation of SAA. In the case of Mango, Mango was impacted mainly by the low economic activity and has of late been placed into business rescue, which I will explain it as we move along. The funding for the subsidiaries that, Chair, when we were talking about, when we were here in the last meeting, we talked about 2.7 billion that was going through the approval process. We are appreciative that it has subsequently been approved, and part of it is being distributed to the subsidiaries, which I will talk about later as well.
From
just to continue with the update, Chair, after being absent from the skies since March 2020, as the board and management, we have decided that we will restart the operations effective 23rd of September 2021. And as of the moment, Chair, we can safely say that the tickets are going on, have gone on sale, and we are busy communicating with various stakeholders, including our customers. This is a moment that we take with pride, you know, for the staff, the board, the stakeholders, and the shareholder as well. And one of the things that we need to clarify, subsequent to the business rescue, we have been mainly focused on the fleet planning. As you can appreciate that we are a much more smaller entity, and we had to look at the fleet planning in the medium term, short term, and also in the long term. We had to also look at the route network that we would like to enter into. One of the key things about our restart is that it is demand-led. We looked at the demand across South Africa. We also looked at the demand outside South Africa into the continent, which is the regional routes as we described. And we were quite pleased in terms of some of the developments in the region, but some of the areas were not okay with those. And that's what also influenced our decision to restart and to select some of the routes that I'll speak about later. What we've been doing also since the business rescue was the issue of employee engagement and employee reporting exercise. As you can appreciate that most of the employees were out of action for quite some time. We needed to re-engage again, and these processes are still continuing. One of the other reasons as well that we need to talk about in terms of our restart was that we needed to ensure that our route rights and airport slots in various international airports are maintained and preserved, because when we don't fly, there is always an opportunity that other route players will take those particular slots. And also to maintain strategic partnerships, the code shares that we had with some of our international partners, which helped us with increasing volumes within the network. Some of them had elapsed, and we had to make sure that as we restart, we need to start working on those so that we can then be able to, you know, accommodate more customers into our route network. Also, we worked on the renewal of the operator certificate. When we came here before, the AOC was not renewed at the time, and we have done a lot of work to make sure that we are compliant with what the regulator is requesting of us. And indeed, we are happy that that operator certificate has been issued, and that was one of the key factors in influencing our date for restart. What we have been doing is been engaging with stakeholders from our partners, from those that have used our services before, and these engagements will continue going forward as well. What we've also done, Chair, as well, is that there is one thing that we need to do and that we need to work hard on is rebuilding customer trust. And these are some of the things that I will touch on a bit later on in terms of our thinking going forward with regard to issues of customer trust and how we reclaim some of the market share that we lost as a result of our absence from the market. So this is just an update on when the restart will happen, the 23rd, and the first route that we'll be taking will be Johannesburg and Cape Town, with the regional routes following from the 27th of September. Just to get into the status of business rescue of SAA as we proceed, it is confirmed that from the 30th of April, we're out of business rescue. And the outcomes of this particular business rescue process has enabled us to restructure both the organization and the balance sheet so that it can then be what we call a solvent balance sheet that will allow us to then be able to be active once more. The headcount was reduced significantly. We've moved from over 4,000 to just under 1,000 employees, just to ensure that we keep the cost base down and we are able to then use the employees that we have planned for the restart of operations take place. Also, the fleet was reduced to align to what is required for the startup under the COVID-19 conditions. And it must be made clear that the compromises were reached with concurrent creditors and lessors, and significantly reducing the debt on the balance sheet as a result of the involvement of the business rescue practitioners. Just to proceed there as well, the concurrent creditors, the lesser debt and lender debt have been transferred to what we call a receivership vehicle to achieve solvency of the business. So that receivership will then be funded separately from the main business itself. And the legacy lender debt of about 4.1 billion was repaid in July 2021 from funding received from the fiscus, and we are very thankful to Parliament and to the Cabinet for assisting us with that particular payment that was done in July 2021. Only 1.3 billion plus interest remains outstanding to lenders and is due for payment at some time next year in August. The first dividend payment to the concurrent creditors and the source that is sitting in the receivership for about 767 million was then dispersed this year and in line with the approved business plan. And what we see going forward is that the other 767 million will be paid next year, August, and then the other one will then move into 2023, August as well. This is in line with the approved business rescue plan. And we are quite grateful that those particular commitments are being met. The challenge that we have and that we need to highlight is the is the funding and ensuring that the receivership funding is received timeously from the fiscus. And I think this is something that we'll be engaging more on to ensure that all the funding for August 2022 and also for August 2023 are indeed received on time to ensure that we honor our obligations as per the business rescue plan. Just to proceed in terms of the funding that is sitting in the business post the business rescue. We must make it clear that we have talked about this before, that the funding that was requested and approved was 10.5 billion. And at the time we came to present earlier this year, the 2.7 billion was also still outstanding. What we have now received is the 3 billion out of the 10.5 billion. We have received as SAA 3 billion, and we have received some money for the post-commencement creditors. We've received money for the unsold ticket liabilities, for the working capital in the region of 2 billion. And also what we have received is just under 1 billion for the subsidiaries out of the 2.7 billion. And what remains is 1.7 billion that will still be coming through. I will explain in detail what we have utilized this particular 900 odd million for the subsidiaries for. What still needs to be dispersed in the future, as I've already indicated regarding concurrent creditors and the source, is about 2.3 billion and unflown ticket liability of 1.2, which gives us about 3.5 billion that still needs to be received going forward in order to ensure that we service the obligations as per part of that business rescue plan. Just to proceed as well in terms of some of the outcomes that had to come out of the business rescue and some of the objectives of the business rescue. The key thing was to restore liquidity and solvency, and that has basically been done as well. The shareholder funding by appropriation allocated to the proposed loans of about 7.5 billion received to date, and 3.5 billion as I've indicated is something that we're looking forward at receiving in the future. The payment of secured lender debt, those are things that have been done, and we'll be looking at paying more going forward as well. Settled general concurrent creditors as well, I've already indicated that payments will be made over a period of 3 years there as well. And then 1.7 billion paid to lessors based on a 6 month lease charges, and this also forms part of the receivership, and they'll be paid over a period of 3 years as well. The post commencement creditors are paid in full, which we are grateful for that. The organizational restructure. The organizational restructure in terms of reducing the number of employees, reducing the number of fleet, reducing some of the obligations that we had, has indeed taken place. But as you could appreciate that this is an ongoing exercise that we will continue monitoring as well. The big outcome out of the business rescue was that the government wanted to ensure that we've got a viable and sustainable national career. And that is indeed why we have now decided that we will restart the airline on the 23rd of September 2021 to then be able to position it as an airline that is viable and sustainable on a cost basis as well, on the strategic route selection as well. And those are the things that, as we get into the market, we'll be monitoring very closely. Just to get into the subsidiaries as per your request, committee members. Financial challenges facing the subsidiaries were really put to test by the current economic environment. And more importantly, with SAA not flying, and these subsidiaries feeding from SAA as far as 80% of their revenues, it was quite a challenge there as well. If you look at Air Chef's operations had to close from January 2021 due to low business volumes as indicated, and they've only restarted with limited operation as of June 2021. South African Technical operated during the period of COVID-19, but what is important here is that they operated at a reduced level of activities because SAA not being functional, also Mango operating at low activity, and even other airline partners like Comair, who sometimes did maintain their aircraft at SAT. What we found as well is that due to low activity as well, their business dried down. Mango operated a reduced schedule during this particular period due to low activities. And later hit the liquidity challenges and eventually resulted in them being placed in a voluntary business rescue effective from the 28th of July 2021. The subsidiaries have recently received, as I've indicated earlier, just about $1 billion, right? And this is part of the 2.7 billion that was approved through the assistance of this particular committee. In the main, this money has been used to really fund the subsidiaries as follows. We've given SAT 784 million for that. We have given Airshares 107 million. And we have provided 100 million to Mango through the business rescue practitioner. What is important is that SAT and Airshares are engaged in Section 189 retrenchment process to reduce staffing, to ensure sustainability, and to align it to the current market demand. Unfortunately, as much as the board and executive management, we are not pleased when we lose, employees, because we want to create jobs, we want to keep them. But what we found is that the employee-related costs were too big and they could not match the revenue that we are able to extract from the market at this stage. And that's why we had to then, come together with the unions and other stakeholders to then start having a conversation around Section 189 to then put a best foot forward for these particular entities. And the conversations are ongoing. And we hope that within the next month or two, this particular Section 189 retrenchment processes will then be finalized for both SAT and Airshares. Just to proceed as well and to dive deeper into Mango. Mango Board passed a resolution sometime on the 16th of April 2021 to enter into voluntary business rescue. There was various discussions between the minister and those who are responsible for approval, but eventually we did get our Section 54 approval by the 22nd of July 2021. And therefore, the board resolution was filed with the CIPC on the 28th of July 2021. And unfortunately, at the time, it was rejected by CIPC. And really, the reason for rejection was that there was a pending liquidation, and also the unions had indicated and has approached the courts to proceed with their business rescue on their side as well. What we then did, we as Mango Board, we then defended the involuntary business rescue application by the unions and indeed lodged an application to invalidate the CIPC's decision not to accept the Mango's filing of voluntary business rescue. The court found in favor of Mango and ordered CIPC to accept Mango's filing for voluntary business rescue. And accordingly, the effective date of Mango's business rescue is the 28th of July 2021. When the board of Mango filed with CIPC to put Mango under business rescue. Just to continue further as well, on the 3rd of August 2021, the board of Mango appointed a business rescue practitioner to effectively take charge of the business and to then be able to start getting into the details and making sure that we can start restructuring the business and start sharing ideas in terms of what kind of Mango business would we want to emerge. It is still early stages of that business rescue practitioner work, but what has been done now is that Section 129 notice was published and sent to all the affected persons on the 12th of August 2021, notifying them about some of the commencement of the business rescue at Mango and the appointment of BRP. The BRP indeed has convened his first meeting with the creditors and the employees on the 18th of August to initiate this particular process as well. What we know with regard to the business rescue plan at this stage, the initial deadline was about the 8th of September, but that has been extended to the 29th of October 2021 to get a full detailed business plan on how the BRP will then be handled and how things will look going forward as well. The 100 million as part of the 2.7 billion that was allocated to subsidiaries has been received from government. Employee salaries for July and August are in process of being paid by the BRP. And some of them have already been paid, and then we are guided by the BRP going forward in terms of how he will be paying the other tranches as well. And I must indicate that it has not been a very pleasant moment for us as executives and as the board to see employees not having salaries during this particular period. But we are also pleased now that that process is now gaining traction and there is money flowing through to the subsidiaries. Just to talk about the update of the due diligence, as you are very aware that the department did make an announcement for a potential or a preferred strategic equity partner sometime in June 2021. The process was followed by sharing of information, which is what we call a due diligence. That touched on financial, operational, legal, and commercial. And we have been working together with the department to ensure that all the necessary information to ensure that this due diligence runs smoothly are indeed provided, and we have done that. As you have seen, there was a formal statement from the Takaso Consortium, who have indeed announced on the 26th of August 2021 that the due diligence of SAA is substantially complete and that there were no material issues identified during that particular due diligence. And I must be very thankful to the support we received from our executives, from the board, and from the shareholder, that being the DPE, during this particular process. It was quite a lot of work to be put together in a short space of time, but I am glad that we are getting that into a stage of completion. The overall financial challenges that SAA we find ourselves in going forward is that once the funding was provided, working capital as well, was that National Treasury made an announcement that they will not be providing guarantees to SOEs unless under extreme strict conditions. For us to operate, we require a number of guarantees or security in order to provide consumer protection across several jurisdictions as we operate internationally. So some of these guarantees will be provided using the working capital that we have, and also what that does, it affects negatively the amount that we require to really start moving our operations as well. It is something that we are closely monitoring in terms of the guarantees and how they are impacting on the current working capital as well. And the financial challenges really facing the SA subsidiaries will continue as we are looking into this current economic environment and SAA not flying. And it is our expectation that as we start flying, the likes of Airshares, the likes of SAT will start picking up in terms of activity. But we must also appreciate that SAA is not as big as it was before. And the likes of Airshares and SAT will still be affected from an activity point of view, because they won't have the same activities that they had before COVID and before SAA was grounded. And it is important to acknowledge that is one of the reasons that the entities are busy continuing with what we call Section 189 retrenchment. Just to talk about our strategic outlook at this last slide, members, is that when we decided on our restart, we did not thumbsuck this, and we are not flying for the sake of flying. It is not an ego restart. It is something that we thought about carefully within the constraints that we have and within what we see happening in the market. If you look in the short term, what we have done, we have put together a fleet planning that will accommodate the routes that we have selected, which I'll speak about just shortly. What we want to do going forward, in the short term, we have brought in the aircraft that will be operated on power by the hour. And power by the hour, it means that as long as we are not flying, we're not paying for them. We'll start paying for them when we start flying. This is good in a period of uncertainty, a period where we don't know whether lockdowns will persist or not. It allows us at least to contain cost. But what we want to do, because this is short term, in the long term, we want to get into a much more sustained fleet planning. But more importantly, the kind of aircraft that we get needs to match the demands of the market and our strategic brand repositioning as well. So we'll be looking at aircraft reconfiguration going forward. We are unable to do it now because of the of the short-term basis that we need to restart, but it is something for forward-looking. We are looking at that because, remember, the intention is to build a sustainable airline. And to build a sustainable airline, we need to have the kind of equipment that will support that particular vision. The route network that we chose, we didn't choose lightly. You'll see that in South Africa, we are operating Joburg and Cape Town. And then we've decided to look at Maputo, Lusaka, Harare, Kinshasa, and Accra. Because when we looked at our data, based on the concept that we said is demand concept in terms of how we go to the market, we found that the load factors in the regional route is good. And also the yield, meaning that the prices that we get out of those particular routes, it is promising as well. Of course, this is not 100% risk-free, but we believe that it gives us an opportunity to test that particular market and also to protect our routes as well. You will see that that is in the short term, we are basically resuscitating the routes that we used before. But in the medium to long term, we are going to redesign this particular route network because we want to take advantage of the aircraft that we have, the options that we have, and even the leisure market as well we want to tap into. And those are the things that we'll build on going forward as well. One of the things that we considered is the vouchers, because when we were grounded, there were certain customers that still had tickets to fly with us. And we believe that this is a good opportunity to partner with those customers as we start flying so that they can start redeeming their vouchers by flying with us again. It is quite important so that we can then be able to render that service to them again. One of the things that we consider strategically as a result of this restart is what we call our slots preservation. Our slots were under attack, especially in some of the key markets that we have seen in the past that were good for us. Right, like Heathrow slots as well. We had to restart so that we can then be able to maintain those and also demonstrate that we are still active in the market and we want to proceed as well. One of the things we looked at in the short term is the brand. And people always ask me, are you bringing the old SAA? That's not the intention to bring the old SAA. The intention is to bring a refreshed SAA, a new SAA. But we also have constraints and timelines that we need to observe. For example, there are certain things we couldn't do within a short space of time to really do an overhaul of the entire business. And we've acknowledged that as management, and we're focused on customer excellence. We're focused on some of the, you know, low-hanging fruits within the brand space that we can then utilize to get back to the market. While in the background, we are looking at the bigger redesign of SAA, which will come later. The operating cost, we are also monitoring that quite closely, where we are renegotiating some of the agreements, especially in the IT space, with our suppliers as well, because we need to continuously keep that cost base low in order to sustain what will be happening in the market. In the medium to long term, subsequent to this relaunch, as we get back into the boardroom and look towards the future, we're looking at really doing some work around rebuilding our customer trust. We have seen that we have taken a huge knock as a brand, and we need to do a lot of work to regain that as well, and we are working hard towards that. One of the things we see in the future, we see a lot of digital integration into SAA's operating model. In a sense that we want the customer journey to be supported by digital integration, make it easier, and even internally as well, have the role that the IT can play to allow us to keep cost at a minimum, to be efficient, and to be leaner as well. Also, the fleet planning as well, the way we want to configure our aircraft going forward will need to be in line with what the market tells us the demand is, but we are working on those as a long-term plan. The route network as well, we'll continue looking at those as well. Collaboration is one of the collaboration is one of the areas we'll also be looking at going forward as well. But just to close off is that as we have started with the brand repositioning, one of the big things that we need to do that we'll start work on is the product redesign. The way we package our fares, the way we package our service is something that we are doing in the medium and long term. And this is basically our strategic outlook. There is more work that we are doing to support this particular restart. But the important thing is that we are very excited about the restart. We acknowledge and we don't undermine that the environment is difficult. We also acknowledge that the competition is very tough. But what we are proud of our contribution, that sometimes gets missed in the process. You will have seen that before the restart, the ticket pricing in the aviation sector was starting to be abnormal. And since we announced our restart, we have seen those particular pricing getting lower as well. We are not saying it's as a result of SAA coming back, but we believe that we have also contributed in making sure that we normalize the pricing in the market, and we bring value back to the customers and the people of South Africa. And this is something that we want to proceed going forward with a carefully thought route network selection, the kind of aircraft that we get into, the kind of lease rates that we get, and repositioning of the brand and the product itself. And my plea to the portfolio committee members and also to the cabinet at large and also to the people of South Africa is that SAA is a brand that we love, and I invite you to come and support us and hold us accountable and criticize us where we need to improve the service. But overall, come and enjoy this particular trip with us. Give us the support so that we can continue bring value to the customers and bring value to South Africa as a whole. Chairperson, thank you so much. This is all that I had to present, and we thank you for the opportunity and for us to be able to present the update of what's happening at SAA, including the subsidiaries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kokolo. I think according to the Deputy Minister, we were to also have some contribution from before we give to members to from the DG.
No, Chair. I think it could be as part of the discussion. Okay.
Thank you so much, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, that is the presentation from the SAA interim CEO. Let's engage the input. I've got a list of members. Let me start with the Honourable Kumede.
Honourable Chairperson, Chair, it's Chabalala here. Can I kindly request that I be first? My bandwidth is very bad. I'm moving around so that I don't lose this network. Thank you.
Okay. Come in.
Thank you so much, Chair, for your indulgence. I really appreciate it. Let me welcome the contribution, if not the presentation, from the board, and also acknowledge the Deputy Minister's presence. I just have a few questions. One, that how many employees are we going to resuscitate or rather keep in the establishment of the new SAA? Secondly, the business, the equity strategic partner, I want to find out that the MOU that you have with them, are you able to expatiate around the MOU with them? But as much as you say it's a consortium, I for one want to raise a concern around how it came about, because we can tell you that we've been at pains to really try to save the carrier. We went to Parliament, we approved the business structure with the hope and the thinking in mind that government will still maintain the majority shareholder. So now in this instance, we understand that government will be a minority shareholder. Now I need to understand the relationship that yourselves as the board and the department and of course with Parliament in this instances, because you are funded by government per PFMA. Now that you won't be a majority shareholder, meaning us as government, what becomes the accounting principles thereof insofar as you accounting to us, but the budgeting and the funding model, if you can just enlighten us and educate us on that one. But I want to raise it sharply that one is very sharply disappointed. Deputy Minister, one would have really hoped or rather asked and requested that if it was possible to open up this process to South Africans that would be maybe moneyed or something of that nature, would understand the social compact, who would really want to come into, but also understand and give government the majority shareholder if really things were to be different. This is very disappointing. As a matter of fact, one is I don't know how to express it, because when we entered into this fight, it was because we wanted to really save the carrier for the benefit of government, but also benefit of the people. The last part, or rather the last question on the issue of the airships and the other unions. Now that you are 41%, what happens with the issue of unions and how workers will be represented, and what's your relationship with them and moving forward, if I can just be made to understand? And I'm asking this question in the light of trying to understand whether the workers that have been retrenched, or those who took severance packages rather, have they been fully paid to this date? Because every time inundated with colleagues, if not workers, that are not paid. So what are we doing? Is there any particular report and specific report to this regard? Thank you so much.
Honorable Kashalia.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with regard to the funding aspect, I'm going to defer to my colleague who's in the meeting, Honorable Alf Lees from SCOPA. He will address those issues, particularly given that the market information is awash with the withdrawal of Global from the consortium. But Mr. Lees will attend to that. I want to raise a couple of issues in regard to the subsidiaries. Now, it's clear that the subsidiaries were not in business rescue, and in respect thereof, 2.7 billion was forwarded, was earmarked for subsidiaries, and 991 million, as I understand it, has been received. Now, I'd like to know how much is earmarked to pay for unpaid salaries and creditors, how much is left to fund operations, and what is required to fund ab initio operational and working capital needs. Also, I'd like to get details with regard to the knock-on effect of reduced capacity of SAA and the effect of this on the subsidiaries and their business case going forward. If that could be provided, I'd be grateful, but I would like Mr. Lees to deal with what I would ordinarily have dealt with, but given his presence here and his superior knowledge of the subject, I wonder if you would take him now to deal with the with the funding and cash aspects. Thank you.
Honourable Mawadwa. Honourable Mawadwa. She's not here. Okay. Honorable Clark.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to find out the following from you. What would the leaner structure of SAA look like? And what program is SAA intending to do in terms of consequence management? I'd also like to know, in terms of the fraud and corruption cases, where are we with those cases? I would like to know the list of those cases, what is still outstanding, and what the financial monetary implication was around those cases. I'm also, I just would like to have clarity. When in the presentation it says government bailouts will be given in extreme conditions, I mean, what does that mean? More bailouts or no bailouts? If we could just have clarity in terms of that. And then, you know, what oversight is the DPE intending to exercise as the state is now a 49% stakeholder in SAA, and would this be far more vigorously than before, and whether these reports will be submitted to the committee timeously for us to analyze. Then in terms of the interim positions that were mentioned in the presentation, can I have clarity as to when will all these positions and the board's positions be filled as permanent positions? Then who are, if you could just also give us the list of who the directors are of Stokotsa, so that we're also aware of that. And then just in terms of Mango and the subsidiaries, I think, you know, Member Kachalia has touched on that. Why aren't they being placed in business rescue? Because in terms of Mango, I mean, they applied on the 16th of April already to the DPE to do this, and only on the 28th of July, the business rescue plan was approved by the court. And, you know, when I read up on SAA, on Mango is saying that if the business rescue plan had put in place earlier and the DPE hadn't taken so long, they would be in a different position. I mean, can you please give me clarity on that? Who has been appointed to do the business rescue for Mango? And then also, how competitive will SAA be looking at the market, the aviation market currently? And will they be able to compete with the companies that are flying at the moment? And how do they envisage building up their brand, if they could tell us that? Because, you know, I mean, SAA is seen very negatively in the you know, in South African context. And I'd like to know, what are they going to put in place? What processes will be put in place in order to build that brand? SAA at one stage had a Voyager Mile incentive. Are they still going to continue with that? And they've also told us that the routes that they will start flying is from Johannesburg to Cape Town. I mean, how many flights per day would they start off with? Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Dlamini. Honorable Dlamini. Honorable Dlamini, is it here? Are you here? Honorable Dlamini is not there. Honorable Mkhwanazi? Mkhwanazi? Apparently, Honorable Mkhwanazi is not here. Honorable Komani? Oh, Komani is not here. Okay. Let's move to Honorable Buteliezi. No, Honorable Buteliezi here. And then Malinga. Okay, the last person as the member of this committee will be Honorable Kumede. Honorable Kumede?
Yes, Chair.
Yebo.
Am I heard? Can you hear me? Clearly audible.
Yes.
Chair, can Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Honorable Gumede.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much for the presentation. I hope the presentation does give us a hope that finally we may pretty soon see SAA taking off. There are, however, few other things that may kind of pose as a threat, which one would have expected that perhaps some of the outstanding matters are being outlined so that we are in a position to, in the near future, get update of all those matters that may be seen as the progress kind of report. Chair, I would be interested, since now it looks as if confirmed, and I'm not sure whether officially announced, that the 23rd of September is the day for SAA to take off. So I'll then be interested, because we don't want to talk in riddles yet, that as that is confirmed as well, that there are no material concerns that in fact could kind of jeopardize the date of the 27th September. I'm asking this just for the I's to be dotted and T's crossed. That in the presentation, is there anything that we may see being a hindrance or a stumbling block that in fact may cause this 23rd not to be implementable? I'm saying this as well, Chair, that once you miss the plane, this has been my observation, and this is one of the catastrophes that as South Africa we may be facing. You know, I've flown from Cape Town to Durban. When Fly SA lands, already there is a queue, and people will then board, and within minutes or an hour, it takes off again back to Cape Town. It will be a similar situation when it gets to Cape Town. It will again, we are, from my own analysis, we are seeing the Fly SA operating like a taxi. Then it goes to a point and then it empties and then more people come in. Are we not becoming kind of very vulnerable? Because it looks as if it's only one plane that is operating between Cape Town and Durban, which I want to interpret that as very risky, which again pushes the critical element that we really need SAA back, because I'm saying we are very, very much vulnerable in this. We are lucky that perhaps some of the technicians at this stage we have seen for quite a long time not having experience crashes here in South Africa, but let's not take it for granted that it will never happen again. But the way we operate, I'm not sure that we are safe in South Africa. So I'm then pushing for the 23rd of September be the date and be not moved, as well as I'll be happy if we can be given assurance and see if don't we have any other outstanding matters, issues that could disturb the date, right? That's the chair. I hope I've been clear enough. Chair, learning from the experience, as much as I would have appreciated a situation where when we talk of a new SA, we get it unpacked kind of a little bit. I will kind of from experience recommend, in fact, re-emphasize is the right one, the vetting of members and many other appointments that may take place. We know we wouldn't like to get into a similar predicament as we had in the previous period, where we've got very skewed members of the board and many other, perhaps could be the management and things like those. Chair, then I'm re-emphasizing because it cannot be a question, but it's a matter of policy that members be vetted. The HS, I've been covered by Honorable Shabalala, but very much interested at this stage that the HFs currently are not the critical component in terms of the movement of the flights. What are they currently responsible for? Because I think that there is no food that's being sort of served in some of the planes and things like those. Chair, I think this one has been asked, but I'll re-emphasize it, that the four-member board, that in fact, I don't know whether the presenter was saying they are trimming or they are saying it's an interim structure of the board. When is it becoming permanent? And then if it's permanent or whatever, when does it get augmented? Because there are critical elements of the boards that need to be there, like the audit committees and things like those, which are critical. The board cannot operate without the audit committee in place. Okay, one other thing that worries me is the 10.5 billion. I've seen in other aspects that it has been spread over 3 years. I've got as well, you know, apart from the fact that it's new SAA, this to me poses a threat in terms of the funding may as well be used somewhere else, which may again cause some irregularities. As we have seen perhaps previously. Is this because that's how it dictates, or is it a kind of a situation where the budget allows that the availability of funds be spread over a period of 3 years? The other question, Chair, is anything strategic that this new SAA has in fact extracted from the process of this that in fact may begin to save Mango? I'm saying the business rescue and all other processes, has it given us enough strength, the capacity that we could have learned many of the issues that may begin to contribute in the survival of Mango? Chair, how many I think this is still called fleet. How many fleet do we have, and the sizes as well? I know that we talk here even the Airbus and things like those, and how many do we have so that we begin to understand? I know that there will be routes to Cape Town. Unfortunately, one has not seen the routes from Durban to Cape Town, Johannesburg, and all those things. But at one stage, such analysis will, in fact, be needed, because this puts more stress in the current situation that we've got only one plane that moves from one spot to another, which I'm saying it operates like a taxi. So, Chair, but I'm happy. It gives hope that we may get things back. It will be critical that we give support, and whoever is involved, the DPE ministry, the board members, at least they are open and transparent to us, so that we are in a position to begin to assist wherever we have capacity to do that. Otherwise, Chair, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kumede. I've seen a hand that I don't know whether now is dropped, because I thought we would be having a second round, but I don't want us to be constrained with time when we go there. Everybody must have said something. There is a member who doesn't necessarily belong here, but he's a member of parliament. I know him. Honorable Robert Alfred. I saw his hand, and I think it's important to give him an opportunity again. I saw Honorable Shabalala's hand again. I will also give her another opportunity before I take it back to the executive to answer. Honorable Robert.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning to you. And it's great to be with you in your committee, as a visitor to your committee. And I don't have too many questions, and they're fairly simple answers, I think. Mr. Chairman, the first questions would be for the Deputy Minister. Slide 14 of the presentation, there's reference to government guarantees of 500 odd million rand. Deputy Minister, what were the conditions put on issuing those government guarantees, and will any further government guarantees be issued to SAA? That's with regard to government guarantees. The second question to you, Deputy Minister, is the rumours that global airlines have getting cold feet about the SAA deal through Takato. Have you or the Minister or the DG had any indication from global airlines that they may be considering withdrawing, or in fact that they are withdrawing? So that's the question for you. Another question for you, Deputy Minister, is the CEO has indicated that SAA is in pretty dire cash position right now. Is there anyone, be it the Minister, the Deputy Minister, the DG, SAA themselves, is there anyone who is in contact with the PIC or the DBSA or any other quasi-state organization to provide funding, whether it be bridge funding or medium to long-term funding, to SAA? So have any approaches been made to to those organizations, those two in particular, but any other quasi-state organization, for funding for SAA. To the CEO, you are making a very good point, I think, about the lack of working capital for the airline to really get going. Can you tell us what the cash balance currently is in the group, and when you will run out of cash? So assuming that the airline gets going on the 23rd of September as you plan, how long will the cash in the bank last? And then the second question to you, CEO, is the airline was technically solvent at the time it came out of business rescue. Right now, at this point in time, is the airline solvent? Do its assets exceed its liabilities? That's a pretty simple question. Simply, is it solvent right now? Then the last question, Mr. Chairman, to the CEO. On slide 8, there's the question of the bailouts that have been paid and to be paid and so on. I need an explanation, please, about the figures for unflown ticket liability. In the first column, there was a business rescue budget approved of $2.2 billion for that purpose. Then funds to be dispersed in the future, there's an unflown ticket liability of $1.2 billion. And then in the middle column, $2.2 billion has been paid to SAA. So the question is, what is the actual liability for unflown tickets? And has that liability been extinguished? Has that $2.2 billion been paid out? If not, will it be paid out, or will only $1.2 billion be paid out? If it's $1.2 billion, when will the $1 billion be returned to the National Revenue Fund, as it cannot be used for other purposes other than what it was approved in the budget to be used for? Thank you very, very much, Mr. Chairman, for your indulgence and allowing me to be a speaking guest at your meeting. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Honourable members, I think now we will have to give to the SAA CEO in his group.
I thought you noted me, Chair.
Okay, come in. I thought you would remove the hair. Come in.
Yes, after you noticed me. Thank you so much, Chair. I think, look, I just want to make just a few follow-ups as well. The issue of exactly how much the company right now currently still owes to staff and suppliers, and which have to come from the shareholder as part of clearing these liabilities. So if this clearing of immediate liabilities does not occur, and suppliers and staff, which are two key ingredients for this process of a new airline and for it to work for it, why is this very important? And I think something that we need to be asking, if we can get just an understanding on that. Chair, can we get a slide that demonstrates further the need for shareholder funding for the new SAA? I just want to really be very clear on this one. If there isn't, if they can explain it. The company, it's definitely in a tight ship because it's getting to be a new company, and we understand it's going to be smaller, and it cannot further trim its skilled workforce any further from where I am. But I want to understand exactly the trimming and how the trimming is going to be done The last point on the President Reconstruction and Recovery Plan, it addresses issues of local industrialization. And this is very critical. And therefore, we need to get an understanding that how we're going to deal with it, especially issue of industrialization going into this new airline. Hence my point I keep on saying, when the shareholder is not government, it becomes worrisome how we're going to implement some of the key aspects of government. And the question is that, is this a private airline or what do we call it? Can we get an understanding? Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Honorable members, let's go straight to the CEO.
Thank you, Chair. I must acknowledge the good questions that we have received and appreciate those. So, Chair, what we will do with your guidance, Chair, we as management will respond mainly to the issues that affect the business at the operational and strategic level. And if you allow me that some of the issues related to the strategic equity partner be guided by the department chair, if that is agreeable with you. Chairperson, waiting
for you.
All right. Thank you. Honorable Chabalala, thank you for your questions. I'm going to answer some questions, and the funding one I'm going to leave to the CFO to handle those. And where the questions were related to the board, I will allow the chair of the board to give us guidance in that regard. The issue of employee numbers, out of the BRP, we were approved with 1,000 numbers in terms of employees. What we have done, we've been filling up those vacancies, and we are sitting with over 800. And the issue of employee numbers will be something that will move up and down as we proceed with our operating model and rationalizing that. So that is something that we'll keep on having a look at. There was a member, Honorable Member Clark, who asked questions around how does the leaner structure look like. At a high level, we've got lesser employees, less aircraft, less routes that we are operating at, meaning that the cost that comes in as input will be much more less. What is important for us is to be vigilant that the route networks that we have selected, we continuously manage those, and we are able to then relate them with the costing. You also talked about consequences management, fraud, and corruption. And I must apologize that as part of the agenda, this matter was not requested. But what we did in the last session that we were here, we did provide a high-level summation of what is currently happening. What I can say at this stage is that those cases that are with the investigating authorities are indeed taking place. What we can also confirm is that where money was due to SAA, we have seen some of the monies coming through as well. And we'll continue to work with those who are investigating other cases in terms of supporting documents and eventually leading to the right consequences management that you have talked about as well. You also talked about how competitive SAA would be. And in our view, we believe that as much as the brand has taken a knock, it is still strong. And as I said in my slide there, that we're looking at repositioning the brand. We're looking at repackaging the actual offering. We're looking at digital integration in what we do. We're also looking at the configuration of aircraft going forward. And I think those at a strategic level should be able to give us an edge on the market as well. And we still believe that we've got good route rights that should allow us to continue moving in the right direction. You talked about Voyager Miles. This is a program that we are not going to do away with it. You will have seen that as late as yesterday, we've issued an announcement where we extended our Voyager Mile expiry date from March 2022 to March 2023 because we want to allow our loyal customers to continue enjoying the program. In fact, we've added the bonus for those who will be flying with us as we restart. And Member Clark, if you are a Voyager member, I would like to invite you to take advantage of that particular bonus because we're excited to be using Voyager. So Voyager is part of our strategic plan going forward. There was a question you asked about how many flights between Joburg and Cape Town, and we're going to start with the three daily frequencies as well. Like I said, we are monitoring the demand, and we don't want to overcommit, and we want to make sure that we do what the market tells us and are responsive in that regard. Honorable Gumede, you asked us about are there any material concerns with regard to the restart. At this stage, we don't have material concerns with regard to the restart. The issues that we are managing are at an operational level, and with the assistance of the board, we believe that we are managing those. And you talked about the number of fleets and their sizes, of course, as we look at the restart. And I want to say that we'll be restarting with about 6 narrow bodies, which are the A319s and A320, and one wide body, which is A330. Those is the mix that we have that we'll be utilizing for our restart as well. If you allow me, Chair, there was a question that was directed to me by Honorable Member Alfred, who asked if the airline is solvent. I can confirm that the airline is solvent at this stage. And he also asked a direct question around the cash balance. What we can confirm is that the working balance and the working capital that we have will carry us through until the transaction with the SEP is concluded. So we are operational in that regard. Through you, Chair, there was another specific question asked by Honorable Member Gumede around what does AirChefs do. What AirChefs does, it services the lounges of SAA, and when SAA restarts, it will service us, and we believe that that is still continuing, and we are hopeful that we'll see improvement in terms of the food provisions on aircraft. But what might not be clear or just strictly available is that AirChef does not only service SAA, it services other airlines that operate from South Africa. And it is our view that with the leaner structure that they will have, they should then be able to maintain themselves in terms of those particular clients over and above what SAA will bring on the table. And that's what we are negotiating with all the stakeholders involved to ensure that that particular business model is also sustainable going forward. What we are also thinking at AirChefs as well is to bring a diversification strategy where they can go and look outside the aviation market in terms of opportunities there. So we are doing our best at a ground level, working with the management of AirChefs to ensure that we can improve on the performance and be able to bring some of the benefits on the market. I'll ask the CFO Chair just to touch on some of the issues asked around funding, and then from there I'll hand over to the Chair of the Board to guide us through some of the questions that are related to the governance structure. CFO, over to you, sir.
Thank you, CE. I'll cover the item raised by Honourable Member Kachalia. With regards to the fact that he notices that there is a 991 that has been availed for subsidiaries, and asking the question specifically as to whether that is to deal with unpaid salaries. Indeed, those amounts are for the unpaid salaries, and there is a process that is in place between DPE and SAA, where we go through a process as those funds are flowing into our subsidiaries. So they would have gone to SACH, they would have gone to AirChefs. You would have seen in the presentation that there was 100 million that is earmarked to assist with the Mango is part of the same arrangement. Then going to
CFO.
Through Chair, yes.
Sorry for disturbing you. Can you just also provide us with your face? Switch on your peak.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Fiki Lemsonto. I am the interim CFO of NDA. Thank you. Can I chair to you? Can I continue?
Continue, sir.
Thank you. So there is a point in the presentation that is made regarding the government guarantees, and I'm hearing the meeting referring to that as government bailout. It's a government guarantees. It would have been a sort of an assurance that would have been given by a national treasury in order to enable any entity to borrow. And then the specific point that is made in the presentation is that a government wants to do away with government guarantees specifically to SOEs broadly, but specifically to SAA. And there is a process underway to clear all guarantees that were issued in previous years. The implication, therefore, is that SAA has to raise its own guarantees as just about any other business. And we are pointing out that as we are about to restart, we are putting in place guarantees of about 700 million. But we're also saying, in addition, in the process of clearing the old guarantees, there is still a 500 million worth of guarantees that are in the process of being cleared. In other words, going to a bank and say, you are holding a guarantee of a number, what a mechanism we need to put in place in SAA in order that you release that guarantee back to government. So the condition or the point made is that those guarantees must actually be cleared and government must not be exposed to us. Then Honorable Member Gumede raises the issue of 10.5 billion. The 10.5 billion, a number of items within the 10.5 billion have been received by SAA, have been spent on the items that were appropriated for, with one exception that within the context of 2.7, which is for subsidiaries, only 991 has come through, but there is a process underway for the rest of that money to come through. There is a question that you're posing with regards to these liabilities being paid over 3 years. The over 3 years relates to the other aspect of the funding that was not granted, and that is a 3.5. So over and above 10.5, there's a 3.5, and 3.5 is to be paid over 3 years for certain liabilities that were big amounts at some point, were compromised as a part of the business rescue process, and there was an agreement with the creditors that they would be payable over 3 years. Honorable Member Alfred, I've dealt with your government guarantee question, and I would like to point out, the Honorable Member Alfred, that SAA has a working capital and has a cash balance, and it is quite a substantial sum, and that is going to sustain the business until government comes in with the aspect around ACP, and we do provide appropriate analysis in this regard around that particular issue. And then those are the questions that there's the last one from, from Honorable Member Chabalala about the liabilities that are yet to be funded. I did say that as part of that 3.5, these are the lessors, these are the creditors that have had to compromise their balances, and they are to be settled over a three-year period. And it's part of what the CEO referred to as the receivership vehicle. So they were migrated out of SAA into that vehicle and are sleeping sexual over a 3-year period. Thank you very much.
Theo, are you done?
Chairman, I am done. Thank you very much.
I was referring actually to the CEO. If all the questions or comments have been recovered.
I had asked that our chair of the board will guide some of the governance-related ones through you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson Magaka, Honorable Magaka, and the CEO. I think it's appropriate, Chairperson, that I sandwich or come in the board's response as a sandwich between the response of the executive management as led by the CEO and what will be presumably followed by additional responses from the Director General and the department. I think it's important for us to just reassure the honorable members that given these three levels of corporate governance of SAA, we as the board, I would like to begin by saying that we have a very full confidence in our management as led by the CEO. We are a small and very hands-on board, as I indicated earlier. The information presented by both the CEO and the CFO, including its the intricacies of its aviation airline business matters, are issues that we are systematically seized in reviewing at all times. We are very cognizant, and we do not we are not apologetic in our posture in realizing that the SAA that we have inherited has a checkered history in terms of corporate governance, and we're very cognizant of the weight of the of public scrutiny, including the Honorable Committee, Chairperson, that we would like to ensure that things are done in as a meticulously legal and proper way as possible. I would like to assure, therefore, a honorable clerk's question that related to particularly, let me start with the honorable Lee's financial management related questions, to just assure the committee that we see ourselves as the board, even though for reasons that in the wisdom of the minister, the board may carry the title of an interim board. We are cognizant of the fact that in South Africa's Companies Act, strictly speaking, there is nothing like an interim board or an interim director. My board and its members are operating with a full consciousness of all the duties, responsibilities, and possible liabilities that they have as members of the board of SAA. So to the level that honorable members are providing parliamentary oversight to the department, we view ourselves as the hawks and the supporters that are working side by side with management, and where we are in a dynamic relationship with the DPE, because in the end, according to the law, we believe that we are a supremely accountable a body of issues ranging from the safety of the of South African Airways, as raised by Mr. Gumede, issues of compliance relating to the Civil Aviation Authority, up to the issues dealing with the eventual financial accounting, as the Auditor General will come in the end and to look at the books of SAA. Linked to that, related to the issues of financial management, we as South Africans, we believe we are very blessed to have a legislation piece like the PFMA. The PFMA, we as the board see as the guardians of the PFMA on all issues relating to what the CFO alluded to about how the capitalization of the funds that come from government are introduced to the company, issues about the disposal of assets as related to like Section 52, Section 54 of the PFMA, issues about the guarantees, issues about foreign forex exposure of SAA as addressed by the relevant sections of the PFMA, are issues that we as the board on a weekly basis are chasing management on. And on the other hand, where we have to deal with the department, we also assert our rights as a board in that relation. And that leads to the next point that the DG and the department will address around the issues of Section 54. So everything that we do, there's already a legislative and a governance framework that we are fortunately just ensuring that it is adhered to. And finally, Chairperson Magaka, Honorable Sir, is the issue about the subsidiaries. There was a question asked, I think, by Honorable Chabalala also about the capacity of the board. We are we have an operating model as the board where, few as we are, we have dispersed ourselves into ensuring that all of us essentially are chairpersons of boards, because remember that the subsidiaries, that is Air Chef, Mango Airline, as well as SA Technical, are subsidiaries of SAA, and as such we have boards that are chaired by members of our main board. Mr. Fadukba chairs the South African Technical Board. Professor Van Harte chairs the Eshef Board, and Ms. Zwane chairs the Mango Board, which happens to be under business rescue currently. And out of that model, members of this board are working more than just non-executive directors could be expected. They are on a weekly basis scrutinizing the affairs and getting reaction from issues that are raised by trade unions. There's a very active trade union activity around the South African Airways, particularly at the level of its subsidiaries. And these trade unions are keeping management on their toes, and where they feel that they are not getting responses from management, we have had matters that have been sent up to us as the board that we have been dealing with. So all the concerns raised about the staff of SAA, the staff that has been that's currently under Section 189 restructuring negotiations. All those issues are issues that also come to us. We have been very concerned as the board around issues of the salaries of the staff. We felt very pained as a board about experiences of the staff of Mango and the staff of South African Technical, who at some point had to go with only getting sections of their salaries. And Honorable Magaka and Honorable Members, we should really appreciate the love and the commitment that the staff members of SAA, who happen to be some of the people who possesses the choice skills in the Republic of South Africa, the way they are committed and the way they have been able to keep this airline on the alive, even though people, because of COVID since March 2019, since sorry, March 2020, since the lockdown, the airline has been on in a fallow in a way. But our staff has really, really kept this business going. The skills that are there, particularly at SAA Technical, are some of the most coveted skills in the aviation world. And through the leadership of the chairperson of SAA Tech, our colleague, Mr. Fadugba, who's based in London, and he's a seasoned aviation expert of many years, leading aviation in Africa, from the perspective of finance to understanding all the technicalities thereof. With Mr. Fadupa at the board in interaction with the minister, we have battled to ensure that South Africa does not lose those skills. And for that reason, and in my closure, to really corroborate the sentiments raised about the appreciation of the support of the committee in ensuring that South African Airways is able today. People are booking flights. SAA is not starting on the 23rd of September again. Today, management under the leadership of the CEO and his executive team and the pilots and everybody are busy working on ensuring that the SAA flag again can rise over Africa. And thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Mr. Amona. Honorable members, I think we still have a few minutes if somebody can ask one follow-up question quickly. Is there anyone want to...
Yes, okay. Chair.
Let me start from... Did you like...
Yes, please, Chair. There were some questions that were asked directed at the department. If you can answer those, please, Chair, if that is okay with you.
It is there.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Chair, and good morning to yourselves, to honourable members, to my deputy minister, Mr. Pumla Maswale, as well as to the leadership of SAA. And thank you again for giving us an opportunity to speak on SAA, which is one of our premier SOEs, despite the challenges that it has had to go through due to the financial challenges that it found itself in, unfortunately due to some not so good choices that were made in the past with regard to its leadership and also some of the mismanagement and corruption that was well aired, I think, at Zondo Commission, which South Africans obviously got to understand and appreciate the impact that it would have had in the entity finding itself where it is. But, shall we just want...
Did you unmute yourself?
Apologies, Chair. We just wanted to... To share why it was important for this airline to be saved, Chair. This airline, economically, is very important to South Africa in terms of linking it with its trading partners and also in bringing tourists to this country. And obviously, it in connecting our country into the region, the feature of our continent and our country is that we have large distances between its economic centers. For that purpose, air travel is very critical. And for us as government, we have seen also the importance of having SAA when we had to respond to the pandemic. The realities that we are dealt, that we are facing, was that the government is no longer in a position where it can fund SAA. And the funding that was made available was to ensure that we restructure the airline, we restructure its subsidiaries, but most importantly, that we position them going forward to be sustainable business with the risk of funding these businesses reduced and transferred to strategic equity partners. And that is the process that has started with SAA that led to the consortium, the TACAS consortium, that is the preferred SEP for SAA. Government is going to continue to have a significant shareholding in this business. And through that, the shareholding, obviously through the representation we'll have on the board, to ensure that national priorities are still given attention by this business. And in the process, we are learning, Chair, from other countries where governments have diluted themselves below control in formerly state-owned entities. A great example, Chair, that the members may want to look at is Malaysia, where government-linked companies, which is what SOEs are called in that country, have been transferred in terms of control to the private sector to the benefit of the country. Malaysia today is able to tell its citizens how much of its revenues, as it announces its national budget, are derived from dividends that are received from SOEs. And that is the position going forward which we want to find ourselves in as we continue to restructure and reposition our SOEs going forward. One of the important points, Chair, that we want to just advance as well is that it's also important to ensure that our people are playing a significant role in this industry. And SAA has been quite instrumental in ensuring that careers that ordinarily, as well as business opportunities that ordinarily would not come to our people, are made available to them. The fact that you have had pilots, you have had technicians in this space emanating from a previously disadvantaged component of our communities is largely because this entity is government-owned and government was able to direct that policy. Now, as we go forward, what was important for us is that a strategic equity partner that comes in should have the right level of transformation. And we have, so far, Chair, in terms of how the consortium is composed, it will have majority black ownership, which is important in ensuring that this sector, our people, continue to be well represented. Truth be told, Chair, the rest of the industry has not been good in ensuring that our people are participating in this industry. And what is said, Chair, is that with the announcement that SAA will be coming back into the market, we have seen that like the rumors that have been circulating in relation to the consortium, we have seen some of the comments from some of the operators in this sector seeking to sabotage this particular vehicle of transformation, because that's what SAA is, this vehicle of economic development and economic inclusion for our people. And it's important, Chair, that that this effort is supported from this House, Chair, because this ultimately is a people's airline. It's an airline that has given a lot of our people opportunities to also be counted amongst the best in this very rare area of skills, Chair. On the issue of this the shareholding below control, as I've said, we have to learn from others. We have to seek new ways of ensuring oversight over these entities. And this is not new to government. We have other entities within government where either directly government or through its entities, we have minority control. These they are the performance of these entities still is consolidated into our reports as the department is consolidated into the SOEs, which have direct shareholding in these entities. So there's still accountability to this austere house. And that will continue, Chair, going forward. Chair, we have spoken to the funding commitment from government to ensure the restructuring of SA is 14 billion rents over 3 years. We received 10.5 billion rents in the first year, the 3.5 billion rents, which is still going through the government the funding processes today. And we have in this first year, we are in a position to be able to meet some of the obligations from the 3.5 that became due. Which with the support and cooperation of the board and the executive, we are able to do, which is good, obviously, for our country, but the commitment going forward at least has reduced by the amount that we're able to pay. And SAAHL will continue to contribute towards ensuring that the jobs, the skills, the business opportunities are retained in the country, are retained in the around the eastern part of Gauteng in Ekurhuleni, where there's a significant representation of its employees and businesses around the airport. And that's what we are expecting will continue going forward. It's also in the interest, of course, of the SEP to ensure that continues, because by ensuring that these the support for the airline is retained in this country, whether it is with regard to maintenance, whether it is with regard to a back office operation, including IT, It's a natural hedge against the foreign exchange. So what I want to say to Honorable Shabalala is that SAA will continue to play that role. And we really believe that a solid base has been created with the restructuring that the airline has gone through to ensure that in the future it grows and that contribution grows accordingly. So we had made a commitment to ensure that the subsidiaries are restructured. It took longer than planned to get to that particular point because you need to have funding available if you're going to restructure. The 2.7 billion rents only became available in this year with the 2021 budget, and we are grateful for government for having advanced that. We are in the process now of restructuring these entities. Mango is being restructured through business rescue. And we have constant communication with Mr. Siposono, who is the business rescue practitioner at SAA. And Chair, and I think that announcement of Mr. Siposono should also be appreciated, because we are through these SOEs able to ensure our people are participating in areas that in the past they would not have participated. And we should really celebrate these small victories as we go forward. The SAA technical, there are an airshaft, there are discussions that are ongoing with the unions there to ensure that we have an orderly restructuring of those entities, because we believe there is adequate resources to ensure that we can do that without having to resort to business rescue or to liquidation in terms of restructuring those entities. And those entities are going to be critical going forward in terms of the new SAA, and we hope that and there will be a meeting of minds between management and the unions with regard to their restructuring. And so far, Chair, the what we have heard from those discussions has been very positive. And ourselves in the department, we have come into those discussions to help where required. And we believe that we'll be able to orderly restructure those particular entities. Chair, the explanation with regard to bailouts, Honorable Clark asked the question. What has been communicated very strongly throughout government by National Treasury is the era of funding operational shortfalls are gone. Bailouts will be financial contribution to SOEs or recapitalization, which is an appropriate way, will given when the entity is restructuring itself such that it is sustainable under its own steam going forward, where there are opportunities obviously to grow the business, where there will be positive cash flows in line with a normal and best practice in terms of evaluation of business opportunities. Funding will be provided under those conditions. But the funding of bailouts as we know them, in terms of the business continue to declare losses and it must be propped up to continue operating, that will no longer be accepted. And it's a right way to go, Chair, because as we know, there are many other demands that are put onto our fiscals. Chair, the directors, a question on Takatsu, who are the directors? As I said, this is a majority black-owned consortium is led by Mr. Tepo Mahlwele, and there is Mr. Gideon Novik, who is also part of that particular effort from Global. And in due course, once the process has run its course, Chair, more details should be shared, not only with this committee, but with the rest of South Africans as to how this consortium will be structured and obviously how within the SA, how that relationship will be structured. And of course, both ourselves and this consortium will appoint directors to the new entity going forward. Another clerk of us answered your question in regard to the business rescue practitioner. Chair, we are also taking lessons as we go forward on ensuring that, for instance, in the case of Mango, that the business rescue process that is undertaken is a successful one. It will be a shorter process than we had at SAA, and that's one of the lessons that we have taken from there, so that we don't allow this process to run from us. And it was important for us as government to ensure that we step in with SAA to ensure that the courts also understand why it's important that we do this process the way we have planned. But on the issue of government guarantees, the government guarantees that are there at SA are historical and they are being paid off, and there's a commitment through the business rescue process to ensure that the remaining debts at SA are paid and those government guarantees are taken care of. There are new government guarantees that have been issued. The point that the management was putting across was that in the past they used to get government guarantees in order to secure IATA and other trade facilities. Now they are having to ring fence cash to access those. And hopefully going forward, once they are restructured, they'll be able to advance a corporate guarantee and be able to utilize that cash within their operations. Chair, I just want to, in closing, say that SAA is operating in a very competitive space, and as we share with you, we are obviously as open as we can, but also we are cognizant that there's a public platform and information that we share does not compromise the restart of this business. But all of us, I'm sure, including yourselves, are very excited with this business coming back into operation. We know from what we have seen that South Africans are also very much looking forward to seeing SAA in the air again. It's a strong brand, Chair. It's a well-loved business by South Africans, and there's many of them out there that have been keeping their fingers crossed to see this airline again in the air. And on that note, Chair, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to respond to some of the questions.
Thank you, DG. Thank you so much. Honorable members, I see Honorable Kachalia hand up, and let me, if there is any other person, must indicate. Okay. Honorable Kachalia?
Chair, thank you. Chair, a number of questions were posed which were not answered at all, and some answers were not with the required clarity that was necessary. With respect,
Kasalia, you know any of those questions, please just indicate whether I don't think
I'm going to. I'm going to do precisely what I'm going to do.
Okay.
With respect to guarantees, which the DG referred to with regard to Honourable Clark's question, we would require specific details in respect of drawdowns of these guarantees. If it is not for bailouts, then we need to understand what constitutes a bailout and what does not constitute a bailout. That clarity is required. Secondly, in respect of SAA, there was a question as to when will cash run out? No answer. There's a question of how much cash is there in the bank? No answer. There's a question on the details of tickets liabilities. We need clarity on that. And we need particular clarity on the prospective funding from PIC and DBSA. Under what circumstances, what is in the pipeline, we need clarity on that. On the question of the rumored withdrawal of Global, it's a very simple question. Has Global withdrawn or not? And with regard to the subsidiaries, my question was, after the 2.7 billion, which was forwarded, and the 9. Respect of funds for operations, given that the reduced capacity and demand for SAA going forward. These questions need answers, and they are simple questions, they are concise questions, and they need concise answers. Thank you.
Australia. CEO, CFO?
Sir, if you don't mind, can I step in and answer those questions? And the department is best positioned to do so.
Okay, do it, did you?
Chair, the question on guarantees, we have answered that. There are no new guarantees. We have said that there are all guarantees linked to the funding or historical funding of SAA, and that has been paid down as we go forward. I don't want to speculate on the numbers. We can provide those numbers to yourselves, Chair, so that it can be shared with Mr. Kachalia. On the question of the cash position of SAA, it's not prudent, Chair, to share that information at present. In due course, we will share that information, but it was answered to say that the business will be able to take care of itself until it gets to the SEP coming out, will be providing additional working capital. I mean, it's important that we ensure that this business succeeds and that this ramp up process is not sabotaged in any way. The technical liability was 3.4 billion rands, Chair. About 2.2 billion rands of that has been provided. 1.2 billion rands remains. And obviously, as part of the ongoing, the remaining 3.5 billion rands, there are discussions that are going on within government to ensure that is provided for. And of course, there will be discussions with SAA to ensure that it's properly managed going forward. There are no discussions with PIC or DBSA, the chair. We can put that categorically here. I think there has been a subsequent article this rumor of Global pulling out has been addressed, Chair. It's from the same sources where it was announced.
Unmute, DJ. You're fading.
Oh, my apology, Chair. The ticket liability, I've answered that question. Was it heard, Chair? Where was I lost? Maybe let me repeat it on the ticket liability. I did say it was a 3.4 billion rand liability that we had.
Did you?
Chair.
You are very soft now. You are not loud and clear as you were. Something that need to be corrected then.
My apologies, Chair. Let me try again. Am I clear now, Chair?
Yeah, but very soft.
So I'm not sure what's going on with my mic. But let me
check
with
other members. If
he's clear, Chairperson.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It's very clear. Yes. Respect yours, Chair.
Honorable Comedy?
Check yours, Chair. I think the DG is very clear.
It's clear to you?
That's very clear. It could be perhaps that the network on your side may be beginning to worry.
Oh, maybe it's my side. Okay, continue, because I'm also hearing you from far away now. Okay, continue, DG. I think it's my problem.
Well, okay.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Chair. On the ticket liability, answer that. It's 3.4, 2.2 has been taken, 1.2. Will be taken care of as the rest of the funds, the 3.5 that is required, is made available by government. There are no discussions, Chair, with PSC, nor with DBSA. The rumors have responded to that those have been denied, Chair. On the issue of the 2.7 billion rand, what is remaining in that, Chair, will account for that in due course, Chair. In the meantime, let's provide room to management and the subsidiaries to engage with the unions to ensure that the entities are restructured. And secondly, there needs to also be engagement with the suppliers, Chair, to ensure that this business is given a chance going, these businesses, the subsidiaries are given a chance going forward. So what we'll request, Chair, is that we give the commercial space to the board and the executive to attend to those matters. Thank you so much, Chair.
Chair, you're on mute.
It looks like we have lost the chair.
But we need answers to these questions. These answers have been substandard. The questions are clear. This is a fudge, and frankly, this committee is a farce.
Hello.
No.
Honorable Kajalia.
Yes, sir.
I'm steering the chair of this meeting.
Very
I
good.
Might have technical problems on my side, but I didn't give anyone a right to speak. Honorable Gumede, can you continue sharing while I still resolving my problem?
Okay, Chair. I will try. Honorable Kachalia, what were you saying?
If people will look at the chat, I've put the questions on the chat and detailed what has not been answered. There's been no particular clarity to these questions. There's been a fudge in terms of the information that we have received. We need answers to this. I've asked for questions on funds, ticket liability, cash on hand, and whether Global is in fact pulled out. How much is left for subsidiaries for working capital after the monies have been deducted that are currently? None of this has been answered with any particular clarity. We don't need political comments here. We need clear answers to these very pertinent questions, sir. I would appreciate it. Otherwise, this is just a waste of time.
Can we agree that some of the questions that we do ask are very much substantial, and in that, if we are honest, because we are avoiding a situation where some other people may say, as you are saying, that some of the answers are fudge, as well as perhaps that you are giving a political statement. So I don't think there is anything wrong if we've got questions that we feel that they are not properly answered, especially questions that relate to monies and all that, that we give the department to go and prepare. We come back on the day granted by the chair. It's either that information is circulated or that information we come and talk about it, so that we get ourselves properly prepared for the meeting. I understand your concern where it's coming from, but I doubt the issue of the political answers. So there may be a very thin line between the answers that they may give us and answers that may be interpreted as political, because they are dealing with politicians. At times, we also ask political, pregnant political questions. So I'm saying, I want to suggest, I've noted the DM. I'm not sure whether the DM wants to respond. But when Chair comes back, we'll put to him that proposal.
Yes.
So that we see the questions. We want straightforward questions. And yeah, okay, come along then. DM.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And with the greatest respect, Chair. It is one thing, and I think it's really up to the committee if we are not happy with the answers that are given. But I think, to the best, I have been listening very attentively. And I have actually observed that some of the questions that were asked indeed were answered, and maybe we could repeat just to make sure that then the committee can express itself as to whether it is happy or not. I perhaps could make this that Honorable Kachalia may be unhappy with the answer on the issue of the rumors. In as much we have got to address ourselves to rumors, I think that is also not fair in itself. However, there is an answer given to say that those rumors are without merit, unsubstantiated. In fact, we have information to the contrary, which is an affirmation by the partners that such are without basis. So we stand by the fact that those are just rumors, which really only have to be dealt with when it is fact. And when we have fact on the matter, we will really come forward ourselves. It won't just be something that is going around there. So as a matter of fact, there is nothing to that effect. In respect of guarantees, that matter has been dealt with insofar as clarity being given that there is no intention whatsoever of any new guarantees except exhausting the guarantees that already have been made to the entity. And thirdly, whether there has been any attempts to get to DBSA, PIC with respect to funding the entity, again, the answer is a very unequivocal no. And the cash position of the entity has been explained to suggest that, to clarify that between now and the completion of the process, the due diligence process that is underway, which I'm reliably informed that it's itself near completion, there will be no challenges to the entity in terms of the operating costs, meaning which the plans as they have been presented here will be able to be fulfilled without the need for any injection until we've reached that point. So Chair, again, these are questions that I think have been made and that have been responded to, I think in my view, fairly honestly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The Chair is back. You may now take over, Chair. All what I wanted to suggest, because Kachalia seems unhappy, if there are questions that he feels have not been answered, he will rather write to you and give you those questions so that you are in a position to deal with them. So that's the only solution I may present. But take over, please, Chair. I've noted that you are back.
Thank you, Honorable Kumete. By the way, part of my responsibility is to protect everybody. Yourself as members, I've got an obligation to protect you so that you can participate and execute your responsibility. I have to protect the people who invited to make presentation and to answer questions. I think Honorable Kashalia knows what to do when he or anybody is not comfortable with the kind of answer that has been asked. And it's not in order for anyone to reduce our meeting into a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. A lot of questions have been answered here. If a question has been not answered to your best satisfaction, you know, as a member of this legislative arm, what to do. Therefore, I will now, was seemingly there is no more other questions we have to ask. Unless there is a quick new question coming from anyone. But to my understanding is that we have exhausted all the questions from the department, from SAA board, including the executive that is present here, the ministry. My task now is to thank all of them for participating in this forum and provided us with a question. Thank you, SAA, for the update and briefing and your presentation with the department. Thank you to the ministry led by the deputy minister. We have given a lot of clarity to the pertinent question that we had. Lastly, I will suggest that we release all the department members, including the SAA and the members of parliament that remain behind, so that we can deal with the last part of our agenda. I don't see you getting out of our meeting. Was one to start now the other session with the members only.
So thank you, Chair. We are off. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I will assume that we all left behind now. What is left is the adoption of the minutes of the previous meeting. I will ask the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee, Mr. Tisamu Chumi, to quickly take us through the minutes.
Good morning, Honorable Members and Chairperson. We've got three sets of minutes. The first minute is the minute of the 2nd of June 2021, which was when the department briefed us on the, give us a status update on the South African Airways business rescue process. And on the page there, we've got members who were in attendance for the meeting. And the summary of discussions that took place during the presentation. And the responses that were given by the department during the interview department. And then the adoption of minutes. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Okay. Can we adopt the minutes, honorable members?
Thanks, Chair. It's Mkhwanazi. I move for the adoption.
Chair. Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhwanazi, Honorable Comedian.
I move to support the adoption of the minutes by Honorable Mkhwanazi.
Thank you. Can we go to another set of the minutes, Mr. Muchumi?
Thank you, Chairperson. The second set of minutes is the minutes of the 18th of August, which was a briefing by DPE on progress update on addressing governance challenges and financial challenges of state-owned enterprises, which included an update on the explosion of B2B, corporatization of Transnet, TPA, issues of Denel and South African Express, and SAA. These were the summary of discussions for the meeting on governance and regulation, ESCOM, Transnet, SAA and Express Airways, Alex Cole, Denel and Safcall, and a summary of the responses. And adoption of the third term program for the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can anybody move for the adoption?
Chair.
Honorable Kumada.
In the absence of members adopting the minutes, you know, as much as one doesn't appreciate
it. Chairperson, Judith Tshabalala here. Can I move for the secondment of the adoption of the minutes as raised and read by the Secretary? Thank you.
Okay, Honourable Tshabalala. Mr. Muchumi, is there any set of minutes?
This one is the meeting of the joint meeting we had last week. The minutes of the joint meeting where Daniel gave us a progress update on their turnaround strategy and the challenges. That's the attendees of the meeting. And that's a summary of what was presented to the committee and a summary of the discussions and issues that members raised to Daniel. And then this is a summary of the responses by Danel to issues raised by the members. And the resolution of the committee that the committee resolved to support the leadership of Danel in ensuring Danel is financially sustainable. It further resolved to convene a meeting with Department of Police, Defense, and Military Veterans, basically the Department of Police, and also Defense and Military Veterans, in order to discuss the challenges facing the company and why these two companies, departments, were not procuring from Danel. That was the meeting of Danel.
Honorable members, is there any mover on the minute or adoption of the meeting? The minute?
Kwanazi here, Chair, I move for the adoption as read, the minute as read by the Secretary.
Any seconder to Kwanazi?
Seconder, Chair.
Honorable Kumada.
The minute is adopted by Honorable Kwanazi.
Thank you so much.
Those were all sets of minutes that are outstanding, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Mutsumi. Honorable members, that's the end of the minutes that we have adopted, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for attending the meeting.
Long live the chair! Long live!
Recording stopped.